Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio, hungry for custard.
Welcome to another episode of Movie Maintenance, where some films just need fixing. I'm Handsome Tom.
I'm Carney.
I'm Kat.
And this week, it's The Greatest Showman.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
Or the greatest movie.
Yeah.
The greatest film of the year.
Easily.
Which year was that?
The year that it came out.
2017.
Wasn't. When did it come out? What was the release date?
2017.
So you're telling me, you'd put Greatest Showman above like Wind River?
Yes.
Well, let me tell you this, Tom. No, I wouldn't. Because I love Wind River. Wind River was great.
See?
No, but I had a great time during it. I know that you didn't enjoy it. Funny, I watched Jumanji. I think I saw this on Boxing. It came out on Boxing Day. It did come out last year.
Boxing Day.
I watched it on Boxing Day too, yes. Correct.
So I was watching Jumanji and then my girlfriend and I came out of the cinema and we were like, oh, they're still showing movies. It was like, I think, an 11:30 session of Greatest Showman. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck yeah.
I'm going to bed.
We'll double up.
That's too
late. And I looked at my phone and Tom had messaged me because I said, I'm seeing Jumanji. And his response was, I just came out of The Blandest Showman.
Oh.
And I just bought my tickets for it. And I was worried and I needn't be worried.
Do you know why you enjoyed it?
Yeah.
I mummied you, Sean. Nah. I lowered your expectations and then you enjoyed it more. If you went in thinking it was going to be like a good movie, you would have come out being like, oh, no, that was trash.
I guess I owe you a thank you then.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah.
So you agree that it's shit?
No, I quite enjoyed it.
No. What's the point of the film?
Why
does it exist?
Everything.
Accept yourself. Accept where you come from.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed of where you come from.
Except Barnum was an asshole.
Tom, it's everything you ever want.
No, it's not.
Everything you ever need.
No, oh, fuck you.
And it'll never be enough.
Are you going to lyric me?
Never.
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 Never enough?
Never enough.
Oh. Do you know what? That annoyed me too. She's the world's greatest soprano. Let's make her fucking belt. She didn't sing an opera song at all. She sang like this. Fuck.
Now, they modernized it. Hugh Jackman talked about this. He went, you know what? If Barnum was around.
They didn't modernize it enough. No. Okay. No. Actually.
Oh, what did you want? You wanted him to start right? You want Cardi B coming in there? Actually, that would have been great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm gonna concede something. The music, fucking loved. Loved
you
all
just
the songs.
Criticized it.
Yeah, I did a bit.
This is awkward because I thought you were going to trash the music.
No, I really
and I was ready
the
to defend the fuck
no,
out of
McCarroll
it.
And I have been listening to the music well before we saw the film.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, no, the songs are good. And I walked out and I still went, no, the songs are still good. Really like that Never Enough song. Really like the opening. I enjoyed the song in the bar.
Interesting. The opening is on it. Sorry, I'm thinking of a different one.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention?
Yeah, that was all right.
I like that because it had the kind of riff, the thumping, the stand. It was a cool moment. It was then ruined by flashing back to Barnum as a boy.
Nah, loved it.
Nah, fucking lose that.
Nah, invest
lose
in the character.
It.
No.
You can't separate the idea of Barnum as a historical figure.
Yes.
Because they, and guys, they really botched it.
Yeah, they take some serious liberties with the
truth. Thank you.
But so did Barnum. It's in the spirit of, like, he
If it was in the spirit of Barnum, they would have killed nine beluga whales and had slaves.
Oh,
animals are really expensive to put on film,
no,
okay?
Just
CGI and some dead whales.
They did CGI a couple of animals.
He wasn't a cunt.
That's why
they
the budget's
made him a
huge.
Hero. He's not a cunt.
That's not.
He doesn't do a bad thing once.
Let's be real for a second.
He's badass.
He nearly cheats on his wife.
Here.
That's a cunt move.
No, but he doesn't cheat on her.
And that's the only thing that didn't happen in real life.
He's a piece of shit.
No, but the thing is,
did you say emotionally cheats on her?
Emotionally
that's beautiful.
On. Thank you.
Yeah. Never enough.
Never enough. His hands would hold, but just too little.
His hands were not older, but they're just too little.
Yeah, you're
he's
tiny
got
hands.
Tiny hands.
Tiny hands, yeah. I do like big hands in a character. Hugh's got the kind of big hands that get the job done on screen.
Can I say, though?
Yeah.
The movie's garbage. I've got a couple of figures which we can dive into, but I'll just launch with this. The message of the film, great.
Yep.
Good message. Really enjoyed it. Liked the songs. You didn't have to make it P.T. Barnum. Because there is literally nothing.
Like, let's be real for a second.
Then
that
why
would not
is present- he Barnum?
Because he's not. He's a fantastical, clearly a like a made-up version of him.
No.
And that is the spirit of Barnum, which is, you know, like...
It's the Jobs to question. Steve Jobs.
Question.
Yes.
In real life.
Yep.
Was Barnum a singer? Could he sing like Hugh Jackman?
Could he tap dance his little
Is this
harder?
A vanity project?
What do you mean?
Is this Hugh Jackman being like, I want everyone to know that I can sing because I haven't established that yet?
I think we know.
No, he feels like maybe I haven't.
He hosts the Oscars.
Yeah, he hasn't.
Have you seen the Honest movie posters where it's like, we get it. Hugh Jackman can sing.
Like, actually, if you want to see, do you want to see some great stuff? Is in the behind the scenes stuff, they get Jeremy Jordan to sing a lot of Hugh Jackman songs because he had his thing and couldn't sing. Just listen to it. Jeremy Jordan's got a fucking amazing voice.
No, but then doesn't Hugh Jackman, like, he can't, he's itching to get involved and he sings and he cuts his like nose open or whatever.
He does.
Beautiful.
Hugh Jackman's great. Make it like Barnum's just there are so many problems with this movie, and the first one is that he's not P.T. Barnum, and there are no fucking stakes. It's so bland.
They've chosen aspects of Barnum.
It is barely edgy, and the moment of heart we get at the end of the movie is completely fucking undercut.
No, it's not.
By showing his daughter dressed as a fucking tree.
You are strung up on this fucking thing happening. It's beautiful. It actually adds to it. Mm. Kath, what do you think? I think that showing his other daughter on stage as well, it's beautiful. I was kind
of
like,
she was a microcosm of his journey. She didn't care that she wasn't the prima ballerina. She was a fucking tree, and she didn't care. She was an entertainer, and she would happily play the
Million Dreams, Tom.
As a clown because
mine
she
is. Make a better film.
Happy.
It's so boring.
It's not boring.
There's no stakes. There's no edge. He's a bland
She's
character.
His family can't have bigger stakes than that.
Okay, they literally set up something that is never fucking resolved.
What?
Okay. After he brings old mate opera singer out to
Rebecca Ferguson. Yeah.
Yep. Who doesn't sing that? By the way,
that's I know. I know. It's a little bit annoying that is.
No,
true.
Who cares? This movie is about smoking
and I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah, Kathy doesn't care because when she listened to the soundtrack before watching the film, she thought that was Michelle Williams and commented on that she was a bit off.
I was like, oh, Michelle Williams is reaching here. And then I found out
Michelle
she was
Williams,
like a professional singer.
Actually sings my favorite song in the film, which is that
Tightrope.
Tightrope.
The worst song in the whole thing. Tom,
no, can't remember Tightrope. I've listened to this soundtrack 150 times, and I probably skip that song
every
time.
Second favorite
that
song.
That and Zac Efron songs.
Second favorite song.
Yeah,
is the song that won all the is winning all the awards. This is me.
Oh yeah, this is me. It's good.
Great song.
It's good.
Really enjoyed
it. Best moment of the film.
Oh. Now, okay, I want to talk to you about that moment, Sean.
Talk to me, and know that I will get angry.
All right. So that moment, we have you know all this time Barnum, who is a good guy and not a piece of shit who exploited people with disabilities and blacks and animals and his family didn't do that and wasn't a piece of shit.
Yeah.
All right. There's a lot of inverted commas that you can't see because this is a podcast.
Not actually him though, like a fantastical version of him that clearly isn't real.
Don't like it. Fuck, just make it. Don't make it Barnum. Oh, anyway, I'm going to get to something singing. The freaks come in and he turns them away. He turns him away.
Oh, just when they're like celebrating or whatever?
Yeah, he wasn't flawed. That was a scene showing how flawed he was.
There's the payoff. They just forgive him immediately.
No, they don't. They don't forgive him immediately.
They sing a song and then they come back to him.
No, they don't. They see how low he is at the end of the film and that he's lost his family. Mm. And they're like, you know what, man?
You know what?
You
he fucking deserves
enough.
It.
No, no, because Tom, you know what?
We thought he was
Tom,
our family
Tom.
And he betrayed us
Tom.
That night at the theater
Tom.
And made us feel stupid.
But Tom, that's why they're bigger than him. And that's the message of the film at the end. They know their place at the end. They belong.
Yeah, but and they subjugated, say to him, subjugated under the power of white man.
No,
Sean.
They're better than him by the end.
You're all about slavery.
I'm not about slavery. They go to him at the end and they see this man who controlled them and their lives has lost everything. And they pity him. And they go, you know what? Everybody deserves a second chance. Because we want a second chance in life. And we got one.
Chance.
You gave us
Where
a family.
The payoff
you didn't
they
mean
literally
to.
Go back and just do the show again and keep doing the show night after night.
They love the show.
Yeah, they love it. They
in
love
the movie, the show isn't a bad thing. The show is a chance for them to express themselves.
This is me.
This is me. This is who I am.
It's no payoffs. Why doesn't he have an affair? If we're going for fantastical aversion, you know what would be better? If he did cheat on his wife.
I think the film implied that he did, personally.
I disagree with that completely.
No, because he comes out and he's like, no, I didn't cheat on her. And we're like, oh, yeah, no, he didn't. Like, they deliberately go out of your way to show that he doesn't cheat on her.
Yeah. I don't think they do.
I think they
leave it. There's room there.
And look,
there isn't, though.
As I've conceded already, there are things I like about the film. I like the music. I like Zendaya, Zac Efron stuff.
I could take it.
My favorite moment of the whole film, though, is the look on Hugh Jackman's face when he hears Rebecca Ferguson sing for the first time.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
That's sensational.
It's fantastic.
I like the fact that the applause is always silent first.
Yep.
That's really good. I don't like the fact... Okay, there is no point telling this story, right? There is no point telling this story.
Except it's a good fucking time.
Hang on, let him finish.
If you're going to make it about P.T. Barnum, there's no point telling this story because there is already a musical about Barnum that leans into the fact that he is a shyster and a huckster. The second song in that musical is called There Is a Sucker Born Every Minute. It doesn't shy away from the fact that he's not a good person.
All right, musical theatre, Tom.
This
is a film. This is a feature film. It's not a play.
No. This film's fine if he's not P.T. Barnum.
No, I think this is allowed to exist. It's clearly not historically accurate.
Yeah.
But they've taken...
Then why the fuck make it?
What's the end? What's the film that quote it? What's the quote the film ends on? Fuck, I can't remember it. It's something beautiful.
It had such an impact on your life though, Sean. How can you not remember?
No, it didn't have a huge impact, but you know, it had a, you know. No, I'm going to find that quote. We're going to circle back to it.
Oh, you know what it was?
What was it?
There's my daughter, the tree.
I don't know why you don't like this tree business.
Just yeah.
It was the only part of the film where I started feeling emotions, and it happened. And the four people I was at the cinema with, we started laughing hysterically while a woman behind us cried.
Why can't the daughter be up there on stage?
What's wrong with her being a tree?
Undercut it completely.
How did it undercut it?
He finally got to go see his daughter at the ballet. And
he gets to see both of them. It's nice.
What? But she's never shown interest in being a ballerina.
Because she's younger, but now she's growing up and she's following in her father's footsteps, and he hopes for the better. It's quite nice.
She's not afraid.
You've
got to
start somewhere, mate.
Silly.
What were you in your first play?
It's
not a tree.
Something similar to a fucking tree, I bet.
I was an avocado.
No. Handsome Tom. I once played a blade of grass in a ballet production.
And you know what? It really undercut the rest of the ballet.
Oh, fuck you! I was the best goddamn blade of grass there ever was.
Okay, I think I can't... I'm going to need to dive in. This is a pretty disgusting thing. I basically, to be fair to you guys, I've given you multiple options here of how you need to work on this film to make it better.
Okay.
And the first one is we're going to keep the current film... It's going to kill me. We're going to keep the current film. Mm-hmm. It's still Barnum.
Great.
Still all that. But we're going to fix the flaws. Right? And the biggest one is there needs to be more severe consequences for his treatment.
For everything that happens.
Yes. Yeah. For literally every... I want him to lose money because someone finds out the boats that he used as collateral sunk. I want that to happen in this film. The reason he goes broke is that the circus closes. He has to find another way to get money. So he sells his house. All of a sudden, the thing that he gave Michelle Williams is gone again. That would be great. Michelle Williams would be furious with him because he's lied about the collateral.
I'm not sure I made this clear at the start. This is literally the most fucking flawed film that I love with all my heart.
How dare you?
No, it's incredibly flawed. Everything Tom says is probably true. You know, and yet, I still love the film.
I'm going to convince him that I'm right by the end of this.
Nah, because I know you probably are. This film is so flawed.
You're a contrarian weirdo. So.
This film...
You like BVS. Your opinion is trash.
Yeah, but that's not to piss anyone off. That's quite genuine. Like, I wish I didn't because I get
So you only like The Greatest Showman to piss me off?
No. Yeah, I see how that made that sound like
She loves it because it has a beautiful message. It's a great film.
It has a beautiful message.
Which is what? Just do whatever you want and you'll get away with it.
No, Tom, you're focusing on Barnum. You're focusing on Barnum.
I am. Because he's the main character.
I want you to focus on the people you called freaks.
I'm going to.
Yeah, good. Okay. I'm glad. Can I just say quickly?
Yes.
Bearded lady.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't want to step on any toes here.
Oh.
But.
I'm going to put something out there. Before you continue, I've seen her. When I went to New York live in a show, and she was amazing. Continue.
I'm not disputing the actress and her performance and her voice. It's the strongest part of the film. Just the beard itself.
Mm.
Why don't you shave it?
Because this is me, Sean.
Yeah.
No, but just, I mean, like, nothing to do with the film. I just mean if there was a bearded lady like that.
Well, I'm sure a lot of them do, Sean, but it's like, the point is, like, you know, these admorality? Blah, 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 that word.
Yeah.
You know, we shouldn't have to sometimes cover what doesn't make us a bad person. We're just different.
That's beautiful.
And we shouldn't be ashamed of
that.
That's
the end.
She may have a condition that means that no matter how much she shaves, it grows back.
Sure.
That's the end message of the film. And I love that she embraces who she is and everything. But when I see it at the start, I'm kind of like, that's a big beard. Just get the trimmers out. Or is it a Teen Wolf situation where, like, she does it, but then by her lunch break, it's like full beard
probably,
again?
Probably, yeah.
Do you know what's good, though?
Yeah.
Imagine if, right, as a fallout of Barnum's shitty behavior,
shaves
the beard off.
Oh.
Ooh, I do actually like
that. And she comes out and everyone's like, oh, where's your beard? And that, like, she's kind of accepted by the rest of society in the way that Rebecca Ferguson is.
Yeah.
But the rest of her real family at the circus are like, you're one of us.
Yeah.
And then when she grows the beard back, she sings This Is Me.
Oh.
I'd feel better already. I didn't even have that written down. That just came off the top of my head.
I'll allow it.
Not bad.
All right.
What they already had was pretty good too.
No, it's not.
I mean, it works fine
So literally though, what I'm saying is though, the consequences for his actions throughout the film need to come home to roost harder. He needs to kiss her or something actually needs to happen. Like he can't be a knight in shining armor. He needs to fuck up the payment. He needs to get further in debt and keep lying to bail himself out. Because Barnum's a liar. So play that up. Just have him lie to Michelle Williams constantly. And that can be a breaking point. Not the treatment of the circus people. Not the fact that he's taking all these risks. Not the fact that he's out all the time. Not the fact that he traveled around the world. She's even willing to forgive the fact that he fell in love with this woman because she gets it. But he lied to her.
Mm.
Never. You can lie to all of them. You can lie to everyone who comes into this circus, but do not lie to me. I am your wife. Bang. And then she can walk out. Already, there are more consequences for his actions. And the main one has to be the big fallout between him and the performers leading into that big song. There's just not enough neglect, in my opinion.
There was some.
Yeah, there's some. You almost need like that rule of three, like there needs to be three more occasions. Yeah. And then instead of them just walking back and performing, they walk out to do the show and they just refuse to perform for Barnum. And he's like, what are you doing? And then they sing, "This Is Me." And he realizes, maybe I made a mistake. Or you have the bearded lady moment that we just talked about.
It's too early in the film, though, for him to have that.
No, move it.
Mistake. Yeah, you could definitely move it. But I think what already exists in the film, you know, them outside the door and him kind of being like, not letting them in, you could probably just expand on that by having them, they've had a few drinks or whatever, and they just burst into the room.
Yes,
and then he's got to awkwardly juggle both, and then he says something very cunty. And then, you know, that's the divide.
There you go.
I agree with you. You need something stronger to launch into what is a very powerful song and a very powerful moment.
The songs aren't always earned by the scenes that lead into them. He doesn't get punished for the shitty things he does. The fire needs to be, you need to see more of that. Like, there needs to be more sabotage.
Yep.
The actual story behind the fire was that there was multiple fires at that circus, but one of them was, so Tiny Tim was not a midget, was a boy.
Yeah, like he was a child.
8 or 9 year old child that they kept Barnum kept placated with rum.
I read that.
And then told the public he's a short statured man.
Yes.
Wow.
He was related to him.
He was like his cousin or something. Yeah. He was a drunk kid who accidentally set the circus on fire because he was angry and drunk and like 7.
Yeah.
My God.
It was 4, I think, when he started When he started.
And giving him rum.
Yeah.
Probably smoked
to help his nerves.
Yeah, he was 100% smoking cigarettes.
Mm. Absolutely. He probably died at like 15. And Barnum just kept going.
I think...
He sewed a monkey to a fish and said, "It's a mermaid, guys. Give me $10.
They avoid all of the animal-related cruelty.
Oh, well, yeah, except at the end. But not the cruelty, I suppose. But
which is him riding an elephant.
Well, no. Okay, he rides an elephant. Isn't that lovely? Those fires, one of those... So underneath the circus, he had an aquarium full of beluga whales because they're the spooky white whale. There was a fire.
I don't want to know this.
And everyone evacuated, and Barnum went, "Yeah, what happened to my aquarium underneath this fire? Did we get the animals out? No, we didn't. What happens to water around fire, guys?
Cooks.
Don't. I don't want to know. No.
Kath.
Did they sell
Barnum? Boiled whales.
Did he sell them?
He probably did. He was a whale. He was a whaler too. He made a lot of his money through whaling. This is what I mean. He's not a good guy.
I knew.
So glossing over those elements of history is kind of disrespectful.
Look, Tom. I came out of the film and I went on Wikipedia, and suddenly I was like, "Oh no, you're not the guy from the film."
No.
And then I closed the window.
Yep.
Because I liked the film.
Sure.
Can we talk about you? Got to stay woke, mate. You say that
you got to accept that he's.
You say daughter is a tree undercut. The emotion of the ending.
That's a small
point. I think him riding an elephant to go meet them undercuts like the message, which is him handing the baton to Zac Efron.
Yep.
And then, you know, kind of giving up the showman life for his family. But then he still rides an elephant down the street to go see
them.
What happens when he gets off that elephant? Who's he give it to? The valet? What do they do with it?
They park it.
Fucking it's stupid.
Ah, sir,
we lost your elephant.
Fuck Barnum.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I knew I'd get it with the whales.
God damn it.
Animal cruelty. Yes. So in this fix of the actual current film, just the last little point I make on terms of making the stakes harder, that moment when he sings the number in the bar when they come to him and tell him that it's time to get the circus back together.
Mm. Yeah.
No, that's the wrong way around. Everyone needs to abandon Barnum, and Barnum needs to realize that he is the problem.
Mm.
Zac Efron needs to go, "I love that girl and I only burnt to death in your shitty fire where your whales died." His wife needs to leave him. Rebecca Ferguson's gone. His circus performers are gone. He is by himself. And he needs to go to them, rally the troops back together, and sing that song to them to convince them to come back to the circus.
Yeah.
That's how it has to go.
I actually don't hate the way they've done it, which is still them being like, "You know what, you're at rock bottom and you're a piece of shit and you're not even capable of actually understanding the kind of person that you are, but we still accept you. He doesn't deserve it, but they're better than him. They're better people. And he's taught them that they have a place.
It's almost their story in that way.
Yeah.
So it's better if he goes to them. But it's not their story in the way this film is framed. This film is framed as his journey. So if it's his journey, he needs to lose everyone and win them back with this song. And the last part of the song needs to transition to him singing it to Michelle Williams with the circus people. For her to realize,
I will agree. Okay. When he ran out on the street, I'm like, you got to follow him out on the street. And even when he's running, I wanted Zach and what's her name to be standing outside the hospital and giving him like a bit of a wave. You go get her, man.
And also, okay, they also didn't do enough in my mind for the Zendaya Zac Efron thing. Like, we had one moment where he took her to the theater, and people were like, a black woman at the theater.
Yeah,
there needed to be more.
Yeah,
there needed to be more.
And especially with like, I mean, I think Zendaya is such a good actress. Like, they could have done so much more with her. She, because she had the ability.
And he's charismatic.
He's
fine. And charming.
He could carry it.
His character sucked.
You know, make it about her.
So make his character more. Make his family like super racist, and he's like in on it.
Film could have been about him.
Well,
Sean, funny you should mention that.
Oh, jeez.
Because I was going to say, I had one more point on this before I dive into the next point, which is if you're going to keep him Barnum and keep him fantastical Barnum. Drop elements of assholery by just making him Robert Angier.
Assholery.
Right?
I don't know who Robert Angier is.
From The Prestige. Hugh Jackman's character in The Prestige. He's so obsessed with fame and success that he becomes obsessed by it.
Make it almost like a cautionary tale.
So that's what, like, I think. A tragedy. They dipped a toe in trying to do it, but they didn't nail it.
Because Angier's still charming. It's not until the final beat of that film that you go, ooh. He's still charming. And so what you do is you don't make the final beat as dark as The Prestige, but you make him a similar character. And people are saying, oh, it's because Hugh Jackman's so nice. No, he can play a dickhead.
Yeah.
That's how you fix the film if you want the current version. Mm. But I don't think we want the current version anymore. I don't think, Kath, you can abide having Barnum's legacy being
a
good one.
Fuck that.
we've said it a couple of times.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, fuck that, man.
That tuna salesman.
You brought up a really valid point before, Sean, where you should make the film about Zac Efron. And I agree.
Yeah.
Because then.
That thought did cross my mind.
Because then you can have Barnum be this fantastical figure because that's how Zac Efron sees him.
Yeah.
Mm. Efron sees this guy as an escape from the boring bourgeois bullshit that he's been
bourgeois.
Putting up with.
Peanut shells.
Peanut shells.
I mean, I don't pick up.
That's not really a bourgeois thing to do, Sean.
This is the fix that I like, though.
So you make it about him. He's more sympathetic than Barnum.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, I don't actually know a lot about who he is as a real person. He could have been.
No,
I don't think he was a real person. I think he's a fictionalized version of several people. He's not
the official, like, the partner that Barnum had.
No. Great. So then,
they're
even better.
Pieces of make it
this guy. He's more sympathetic.
Yeah.
He can see Barnum as being fantastical because he thinks he's fantastical, and it's only when the reveal moment of Barnum being a charlatan comes around that you get to see the real Barnum, and Zac Efron goes, no, you are bad. And then you can still have that moment where he goes, nah, you are bad, but I'm better than you, so come on back.
Yeah, because in the film, like, Zac Efron never challenges him, never calls him out on any of his bullshit.
No.
At all.
There's not even, again, there's no consequences for when Zac Efron's put in charge, besides the fact that there is the fire moment. But that was coming anyway.
Yeah, there are.
There needed to be Zac Efron put in charge, and he fucks the surface up for a bit, and the people performing don't really like him.
I have a bit of confusion over what Zac Efron's role is, because when I watched the film, I thought he was like a stage actor.
He's a producer.
Yeah,
he's a producer. Okay.
Oh, possibly. I thought he was a writer. Actually,
no, he's a producer.
Okay, because I'm sitting there watching the whole film, and I thought he's an actor, and I'm kind of like, how come he's not in any of this?
He's never on the
stage. Seems to just be like a bit of a stage manager.
Yeah.
And then, so he's a producer.
He's the producer.
Convenient then that, like,
he puts money in, which is a producer.
Like P.T. Barnum, he just happens to have an amazing voice as well then. Great, sure.
It's a musical. Everyone happens to have an amazing.
Yeah.
You've seen Les Mis, Sean. Poor people don't sing that well, mate.
I've sat through that shit film, yeah.
You love it.
No, I don't.
You do love it.
The movie?
Yeah.
God, no.
You love Rusty.
He's the best character in it.
Can't sing.
Can't sing. None of them can. It's a shit film. I fucking can't stand
Les Mis
it.
But the worst. Yeah. The absolute worst thing in the world.
It's not.
Yeah, no,
frankly, anybody involved in Les Mis is just out of their mind.
It's astoundingly bad.
Well done, Sean.
Yeah.
Well done, mate. Yeah. That was a nice pot shot at my fiance. She's going to love that. Doesn't listen to this show.
I didn't know.
Does or doesn't?
No, doesn't.
Oh, she's like me then. just with a Kathy Epp. Nah, jokes, mate. They're all good.
I feel like I'm turning you over, though. Like, Zac Efron, the character, is a version of the film that would be able to allow you to do pretty much. There's a fair bit of rewriting that takes place because he's now the focus. But a lot of the songs, a lot of the big songs, stay the same.
Yeah.
Never Enough stays.
Yeah.
Barnum still have his song at the end.
But I want
you still get that great scene where Barnum convinces him and doesn't drink the entire time. That's a nice scene. Also, yeah, you know he was Prohibition, like really strongly from Prohibition.
The bartender is my favourite character in the whole film.
Yes, well, he steals this goddamn show.
He really does steal the show.
Also,
too much. I lied. He's not my favourite. He's a bit of a showboat, frankly. He distracts from that scene.
The guy who runs the ticket booth.
Oh, he's great.
He's the best. Yeah. I need more of him.
Yeah, he's really good. I forgot about him.
So, yeah, so you read right stuff, but it's basically the same. And you can have that relationship with Zendaya and Efron. Let's actually have some conflict between her brother and Efron instead of, oh, he's here and he gets like hit with an axe and that makes them. Let's do some conflict there.
Give the bearded lady something to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd love to watch her fucking.
So when Barnum nicks off with Rebecca Ferguson, he puts Efron in charge and there's a coup. And Efron's trying to keep Barnum's vision alive. Meanwhile, bearded lady's leading a revolution.
Yeah.
He's trying to keep Barnum's vision alive, keep the show making money. And then keep his relationship with them. He's like stuck in a rock and a hard place. And Barnum, his mentor, has left him.
Yep.
There's some stakes.
Also, throw Michelle Williams a few more scenes. She comes into Efron and is like, I can't get in touch with my husband. What's going on there?
They can
He's
bond.
Got to lie and
okay,
do that.
Yeah. What I can't.
Give the daughter, give the tree daughter something to do.
She's a tree. She burns in the fire.
Have a scene of her at the park admiring a tree, for fuck's sake.
Child? Okay, she's like, I just want to be a tree day.
Wait, what? Wait.
What?
She said she burns in the fire.
I did not say that.
Yes, you did.
I don't think I did.
What are you talking about?
You're on
you
drugs.
You just said she burns in the fire. You did. I know you did.
I may have gone for a bit of a Barnum, let's burn things in fire.
Holy shit, Stannis. Let's burn out a child in this one. What I don't understand here, and please illuminate, does Zac Efron have to sing more songs then? Like, because I really like how much Hugh Jackman sings. Because I really, mate, this movie is me enjoying Hugh Jackman's incredible talents.
Yeah, sure. Zac Efron probably doesn't have to sing much more than that.
Why, though?
Everyone doesn't have to see much more, because what you can do is you can show him, maybe he goes, and rather than Barnum seeking him out, maybe he goes along to watch the circus. And so that opening scene is him watching Barnum's show. So you lose the kid story. That's gone.
Which story? The kids?
Doesn't sing that much? Everyone sings like two songs.
Well, maybe you give him a couple of extras, but you keep all of Barnum's songs.
Maybe there's another film here where you flip it and it's like an intern-type character. You don't show Barnum's early career. He's already established and successful. And the intern, Zac Efron, comes in and he just loves this guy, but learns throughout the course of the story that he's a piece of shit.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes.
And then you still get Hugh Jackman's song. Kind of
like, exactly the film.
Kind of like, I mean, it's not the same film, obviously, but it's the same emotional arc as Ryan Gosling in The Ides of March.
Yes.
That idea of
I've idolized this guy and now he's a piece of shit.
And then what does that make me if I've behaved in similar fashion? Oh, am I on the road to
heaven? And then he can lie to Michelle Williams, and lie to the kids, and lie to Zendaya. And then there's a peak moment. There's, you know, when everything's going to shit, she can turn around and be like, you're as bad as him. Everything that comes out of your mouth is a lie. And he's like, no, I'm not. And she's like, yeah, you are. And then maybe he can get the circus back together. They put on one last show, and that's when the fire happens.
Do we save Barnum in this, though? Or is it just accurate to history? And it's like, nah, he's just a piece of shit.
I reckon we can...
Because if that's the case, I think... If we're not going to give Barnum redemption, Michelle Williams is out of the movie.
You can No. What you do is you redeem him in the way you said, which is that we know you're bad, but we're better.
No, I... Yeah, okay. I don't know. I think you've convinced me very well, Tom, on this Barnum thing. If we're going to keep Barnum, he can't get redemption because the man himself does not deserve redemption. So if we're going to be true, if we're going to be like, he's a prick, let's not indulge this any shape or form.
Efron takes all the guys with him and they open their own circus.
And Michelle Williams goes with them. And, I don't know, she gets something good. Like, do you know what I mean?
Barnum does the same thing. He gives the circus to Efron because he decides to go into politics, which is what actually happened.
Yeah, I guess the Michelle Williams Barnum character.
Efron buys him out. Right?
You could buy him out.
Buy him out, because there's that beat in the film where Barnum's broke, right? And everyone's like, I invested all my money because I'm not an idiot.
Mm.
He just goes, I'm buying it off you. It's my circus now. Look, it's problematic and there's probably
end Barnum's story in that grey area of him leaving this and going to politics? Yeah. So he has his redemption and makes peace with his family and then the movie ends and it's like, hopefully it all works out, but he's probably still bad.
Yeah.
I really liked his emotional arc.
Yeah,
in the film,
too.
Barnum's.
I did,
Accept yourself,
so,
love
so
yourself.
Okay, okay.
Like it's what you then need in a big musical. Like.
I present to you another option for this film.
Theory. Door number three.
We can go down door number three, in which you have the same redemption arc.
Okay.
You have the same nice character beats. He's just Jimmy Wilson of the Wilson Brothers Circus.
Oh,
he's just a
fictional
guy.
Character.
Purely fictional, because there's nothing about the film that makes it have to be Barnum.
Yes, I agree with that.
That you could just make, if you want to have the arc and you want to have the nice story, you make it Big Fish-esque about a guy who just wants something bigger and he's very charismatic and he lies. So he can still lie. His whole thing can be lies, and his lies can still get him undone. And his passion for fame, and you can, you know, get a bit of that Robert Angier from Prestige in it. Rather than making him Barnum the douchebag, it's this guy who is obsessed with fame and success, that it costs him everything. And then he realizes that that's not what's important. What's important is family. What's important is being true to himself, right? So you get to have your cake and eat it too, and no whales die.
And which I love. I'm not going to lie. That's a big plus for me. I mean, I think you're probably right in that I don't think anyone gave a shit that he was a real guy. Like, no one was like, well, history. Oh, my God, I'm learning so much. Like, we're all there to watch Hugh Jackman be excellent. Let's be real for a second. I didn't at any point need it to be a true story, and I didn't think it was for a second.
No, I didn't realize it was actually a story about Barnum until I started reading up about the show and was like, oh. It's Barnum.
It baffles me.
Love the kid thing.
I'll even give you that shot.
Sitting there being like, we've got Hugh Jackman, but he's not a big enough draw card. Why don't we get this guy from like 200 years ago that no one gives a shit about today? He's going to be the draw card. No, it's Hugh Jackman. Like, if you know what I mean? Like, he's the selling point of this film and the music as well. You know, so
yeah, it's interesting.
It's kind of redundant, really.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's interesting that they didn't just do that. Because of how much of a departure this is from the real thing.
Yeah.
I'm shocked by it, really.
I got swept up and like, oh, he sold lies, and so a movie about him should be full of lies too. It's what he would have won. I got caught up in it, but
But why are we honouring his wishes? He's a dirtbag.
Yeah, fuck him.
I found that quote. This is what the movie ended on. The noblest art is that of making others happy. So what they have done, obviously, is taken one aspect of this guy. And Hugh Jackman's obviously found the most to work with that and said, this is what I want the film to be. I want it to be happy and joyous and uplifting. And so they've gone down that path. How do they live with themselves making this film?
What was your question, sorry?
How do they live with themselves?
Well, there's been a heap of backlash, like particularly from people with disabilities and that community have come out pretty hard and been like, you just need to read some history. He was really bad to people of color, people from anywhere,
animals.
Asians, animals. Like he was. But the thing they focus on is that he also coined the term show business.
Yeah,
he was about entertainment,
which wasn't in the film,
and money. So let's make it about that. Make it about the fantastical element of show business. So lean into that. The noblest art of anything is making someone happy. Make that. So make him fictional.
Mm.
Make him a larger than life character. Maybe he's inspired by P.T. Barnum or other circuses, and that's what he wants. Like, he wants to do that. He wants to be that person. And they're like, no, you can't be that person. It means you have to change a few elements. For example, the opera singer is a real person that Barnum did bring out to America.
Yeah.
So you just make her a musician from somewhere.
They already changed.
He does kind of meet Queen Victoria.
Kind of singer that she is.
I mean, the only thing that they really kept the same about her was that she was a very charitable woman. That's the only kind of similarity, really discernible similarity. You can keep that quality.
I found the meeting the Queen scene
was so out of place.
Interesting, because I'm assuming it's not accurate.
Well,
at all.
It did happen.
Well, no, he did.
He would have met the Queen.
Yeah,
but I just found it weird that they brought the entire
cast of the show
over. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. He brought the circus.
See, that's an opportunity
and what was
in the
his
film.
Name? Tiny
Tom Thumb.
Tom Thumb did make her laugh.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's an opportunity, I think.
She requested him specifically. She requested
Tom Thumb. The little general.
Yeah, the little general.
That's an opportunity in the film to have them all want to meet the Queen and have him be like, oh, no, no. that's not for you, sort of thing.
Yeah, because he seemed add fine that onto the other with one. It at the beginning, and he seemed fine with race at the beginning, and then he kind of turned.
So this way, if he's fantastical, he's telling lies even to himself. But then, as it starts getting bigger, and he realizes that the thing that he wants, which is the approval of the elite,
yeah,
which is a great motive. That whole thing of him wanting to gain the approval of her dad, I liked that, and I'm sure you did too, Sean. I'm sure you liked that. That was a nice.
I didn't really
touch.
Buy into that the dad would allow him to take the daughter away.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And just be kind of like, she'll be back. It's like, nah, I don't think you would let this happen.
He'd just be like,
so it needs to be. So in our version, in this version,
she needs to run away.
She needs to run away.
Definitely.
Which makes it bigger when she goes back.
Oh, yeah.
And harder when she goes back.
Yeah. Michelle Williams needs a lot more to do.
She does. A lot of people need a lot more to do.
She's great.
But now, I think. With a fictional Barnum, you can have that moment where he's happy to present them to Queen Victoria, but then when he brings the singer out and they want to, you know, mingle with the hoity-toity people of New York and he doesn't let them, then you can have, you know, the bearded lady be like, you asshole, you let us meet the Queen. He's like, but I let you meet the Queen. She's like, no, you let us perform for the Queen.
That's
you
good.
Only want us when we perform.
It should even be in the aftermath. Is that that's when he meets the singer, isn't it, in the aftermath of that meeting. Perhaps he shouldn't even know then that's how he feels. It should be when he meets the singer or like other famous people in the room after having drinks comment on like the freaks in the room.
Yeah.
And then he's kind of like, this reflects poorly on me.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's a bit of a character
and
change.
You just
because he's such a nice guy at the start.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, then what you can do is you have it dropped in there, then have one more instance and then the This Is Me beat. I think you need three instances of him pulling away from the freaks of the circus. So
and then the
speak.
Big one. Then, like we talked about before, they come in the room and perhaps there's a loud altercation where he says something that's really quite nasty and they're kind of like,
oh, here you go. It's like, you know, yeah, but you know, you go into another room and we don't want to go. We don't want to be in here. We want to celebrate. It's like, no, you've got to go in the other room. You know, we can't have freaks in here.
Something like that, yeah.
Mm.
We can't have people like you. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Even better. People like you. And she's like, what do you mean people like me? And Zendaya's like, people like me. Or people like me. Or people. And he's like,
and then they all look around the room and everyone's kind of like averting their eyes. And
she's
stuff.
Like, well, this is me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the song is about reclaiming her own identity and being like, you don't define who I am. I choose who I am.
And they storm out and he's like, I don't have a circus anymore. Oh, shit.
Oh,
I don't have a circus anymore.
Mm. Yeah.
Then he can kind of rally them together. And then you have the fire beat again. So he loses the circus as well.
But no boiling whales, please.
No, there's no whales in this circus because it's fictional.
They couldn't afford animals.
Yeah, they had a moral.
Stance.
He was a vegan.
He's
why, Tom, I quite like this. Exists in the same world as Barnum, but he's not. Like, perhaps he was inspired by the idea of show business and that, but he doesn't want
to
be Barnum.
He
and
wants to be
that's
better.
One of his main points of difference. We're not going to do anything with animals because that's cruel.
Yeah.
All this sort of thing.
I like this.
I can't imagine Barnum had these people on stage singing songs. I'm sure it was more of a like, here's the bearded lady and you look at her, turn around for us and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, this guy's going to eat a sword. Oh,
yeah. You know what I mean? It wasn't them singing the same song every night. And
no. And that's the musical.
The leap, like the success just came too easily too in the film. Like, you know, he's trying to sell tickets and then all of a sudden they've got these sold out shows and it all just sort of happened a bit too easily.
Maybe that's what it is that Zac Efron goes along one night to like spite his rich family. He's like, no, I'm not going to go to the theater. I'm drunk. Because that'd be nice. If he was an alcoholic, that'd be nice that Barnum played our fictional Barnum, Jimmy Wilson.
Yeah.
That's just the name I've gone for.
Sure.
It could be anything.
Yeah.
It could be Barry Circus. Barry Tent. Barry Big Top. That's where the name Big Top comes from, everyone. Barry Biz. Show Biz. So you literally could have a moment where he gets drunk, walks out of the theater, and his parents are like, son, you must come back to the theater. And he's like, fuck the theater. It's boring.
Yeah.
I'm going where the real stuff is. And he goes to the circus. And he's like, someone does something. And Zac Efron's just sitting there. And he's like, finery. Just like, ha, do it again. But he's like, that guy's like he would recognize this guy.
Yeah.
Not Barnum. I could call him Barnum, but Hugh Jackman would
recognize
him. And then maybe that's how he gets bigger is this guy starts investing in him. I know how to sell your show. You're good at selling your show, but I can market to people. You don't know how to market your show.
Yeah.
You don't know what people want to do.
It like I even like the idea of having like the Zac Efron character who's a theater producer or something.
Yeah.
You have him at one of his like stuffy shows and the audience just gently like applaud at the end and it's all very respectful. And then he goes along to the circus show and the audience are cheering and all drunk and standing up.
Yeah. There's
flames going everywhere and he just loves it. He's kind of like, I want something.
I want to actually
He wants something
get a
more. He just doesn't know what it is. And this is what
and
it
that,
is.
And then, because then what happens is he does that bit where he goes to the show, Barnum sees him and chases him out, like you know.
And you can have that song that's in the bar.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, no, I'm not doing it. And he goes to the bar and he's like, yeah, I'm going to get you. You're going to do it because I know you want this. And then that song has a nicer meaning to it when he's like, don't you want something more?
This is what you said earlier. You earn the songs.
We've seen nothing of Zac Efron to make that scene. Like, Barnum's like, you want something more, don't you? And he's like, I guess so. We've seen you for 5 minutes, mate. We don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I mean, I thought it was playing against like a stereotype, I suppose, but it's always better to earn it.
Earn it.
Sure.
You have to earn a song. So the thing about, and I may have said this in the La La Land episode, but the thing about musicals is there's a quote attributed to a guy who I can't remember, but it's a great quote.
Yeah.
And the reason
we're doing good with quotes today.
We are. But the reason characters sing in musicals is because the idea behind it is when you write a musical, you write a scene where the characters get so emotional they can no longer speak and must sing.
Nice.
That's where it is. So it's either happiness, anger. You watch every musical you've seen. Usually the song comes at the highest point.
It's when it spills out.
Of the emotion. Except musicals like Les Mis or something where they sing.
Yeah, shit ones. That's nice. That's a really nice point. Yeah. I never thought of it like that.
See?
Your version, like this new version that we have of Hugh Jackman.
So which version do we want?
I want this third option.
All right.
I like door number three, personally.
Yeah, I'm door number three.
Because
it's
just, you can do anything. Completely and you don't fictional. Have to be, yeah.
And no whales.
Yeah.
No whales. See, again.
It's everything you ever want.
Why didn't they do this? If they're going to revise history so much.
Yeah. But I like to because it makes more of the songs earned. Like Million Dreams at the start.
Yeah.
Feels earned now in this version.
You're onto something. Really, it's something.
It's a lyric.
I know. I realized halfway through and then when Kath giggled like a child, I was like, I've just been lyriced.
Great songs though, great soundtrack. I love it.
Yeah, no, and I agree. The soundtrack's fantastic. It's a lot better because these are the guys that did La La Land. The songs are a lot better than the ones in La La Land.
These
memorable. I want to sing them.
Yeah, fuck La La Land.
And just like so great. I mean, I wish I could describe how good they are, but just really, really, really fucking great.
Why
can't you describe how good they are? You can only just say great.
Just great, but like you don't get it. Whatever you're thinking, double it. Greater than that.
Just listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah, that would be the best way to figure out how good the song is.
The soundtrack is actually so good that it for me, it covered over all of the cracks of the film.
Well, no, it's true. There were moments where I was like, oh, this is really good. And then I thought over a minute, I'm like, why the fuck is this happening though?
Because the suggestions you've made to the This Is Me moment are fucking awesome. And yet, that moment, I was still so invested in the film.
That's
and
the
that
thing.
Probably my main takeaway, the reason I'm so passionate about why I really liked the film as it is, even though it's extremely flawed, was just that I love a story that's about outcasts, I guess, in society who have been put down, and it's about them finding themselves and that sort of thing. So I like, honestly, I'm tearing up watching this film.
Mm.
It worked for me on so many levels, except for screenwriting. But I still bought into the emotion.
You can still have the outcast. You actually can have the outcast story better with a fictional version of him because you can make him more of an outcast.
Absolutely.
And then you don't have a really
well, not so much
moment.
Him. I mean the team. I mean the bearded lady and all these guys.
But he's an outcast in himself, and then he aspires to be here, but he's actually lower class, and he needs to learn that you don't actually want to be. This is me.
Yeah.
You need Except to beat to the sound of your drum or whatever the line is that I've completely botched.
Yeah.
So what version you'd like? Option three.
Option three, please, Tom.
Number three.
Draw number three. Welcome to the fictionalized Greatest Showman about Larry M. Showman. and it's spelled Showman. Like his name is Showman.
Showman.
Yeah. You happy with that?
Look, pretty happy.
I've got one question
for
you two boys. Any recasting? I don't think you can.
I'm happy with the cast. If you're going to recast anyone, I don't know why they didn't get an actress who could sing to play Rebecca Ferguson's part.
She's really good, though.
She's good, but let me just tell you this.
She's heartbreaking in that moment.
Do you know what would be nice? If they actually got some fucking decent music theatre performers working on like fucking Broadway to do stuff.
Yeah, because cool. Rebecca Ferguson isn't enough of a name, especially sitting amongst Hugh Jackman, Zac Efron, Zendaya. Like,
Hugh Jackman's the name. Yeah. You could cast literally anyone else and it doesn't matter. I would get the singer who actually sang the song or get just anyone to come in and play that character.
Her performance was particularly incredible. I do get that she did that emotion.
Oh yeah,
so
she did some beautiful stuff. But
that scene where he says to her, "I've risked everything," and she looks at him and says, "So have I." Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Nah, the scene,
that's why you want an actress.
Still, the scene for me is, but we can get an actress. You can get an actress who can sing. There's plenty of them.
Okay, but. To sing that well, she's supposed to be like the pinnacle of singing in this world.
It would be. You know, they should just get Audra McDonald, who's fantastic.
Who is she?
She is a music theatre singer. She's a soprano for a start, and she has a beautiful.
What's she been in?
She
films.
She plays the voice of the wardrobe in the newest Beauty and the Beast.
No, mate, we want film pedigree.
Oh,
that's why they went with Ferguson.
Do you know who they should go with?
Who?
They used her for the soundtrack. Kesha, voice of a generation.
I tell you what.
And can act.
I can't stand that bearded lady's not on the radio, but the Kesha version is.
The Kesha version. Yeah. Fuck off. Trash. Like that song, Kesha's version is holding on by a thread because the music is so beautiful. It's yep. It's
why do they do that?
And core, I like Kesha.
They do it for Disney movies as well.
They did it with Disney Moana. Movie,
there's a pop remake of like Jessica Simpson and her boyfriend singing A Whole New World from Aladdin.
Wow.
I hate it.
Anyway.
And I love trash when it comes to music, but even that's too trash for me.
In our fictional version, there is no pop version of that song.
Thank you.
Good.
It is only just
thank
me.
You. And it kind of felt a bit shitty as well because the film is about like the little guys, you know, the outcasts, the people we don't normally draw attention to. And then so they've cast, you know, the actress who played the bearded lady, who was obviously not a name, or I wasn't aware if she was a name, maybe on Broadway, but certainly not in film. And they've gone, oh, look, we're going to give her attention, but we're not going to give her the radio song. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of contradicting their very message, which is we need to be giving more of a voice to the outcasts. And then they took away her voice for the widespread version of that song. It's like a little fucked. And she did such a good job of it, you know?
Is she nominated for an Oscar?
No. The song is.
The ensemble got nominated for a Screen Actors Guild Award, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, the song certainly is. And
song's up for best song.
It'll win.
I think they got, you know, there's ensemble awards.
That cast.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm talking out my arse, Sean.
Interesting. It's been a bit of a sleeper hit.
It's been a bit of a nothing because people went.
Yeah, no, it's done quite well in America. It's made over $100 million.
Yeah, I heard
it's done just fine.
It's just churned along.
But it's not gonna be lasting. I don't think. I think the songs will be lasting, but I don't think that the film will.
Okay, I was about to be like, well, now the people, songs.
Who's watched La La Land?
Yeah, I don't like it though.
It fucking sucked though. Yeah,
thank you. I love being in a room with people who hated La La Land. I
hate
it.
It makes me so angry. How get fucked.
I hate it.
Was.
I don't hate it, but it's just a nothing movie.
We've discussed it, Tom, but I'm sure we very much agree.
Name one fucking song. Oh, City of Stars. Name a second song.
But even
so. The one that Emma Thingo does in the audition room. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Outside of that.
France.
Piss off.
France is good.
Is that what it's called?
I have no idea. I think it's called Audition Song.
Yeah.
I like Someone in the Crowd. That's the only song from La La Land I like.
Couldn't tell you what it is.
And on that note, I've been Handsome Tom.
I've been Carney.
I've been Kath.
And if you would like to let us know which door you believe we should go down on. Go down on? No, that's not what you want to do with a door. You want to go through a door. Go down a door.
Just wrap your hands around the handle.
Oh my
just
God.
Wrap. If you want to, just let us know which door you'd like at MM SansPants. That's a Twitter, or you can send us an email at SansPantsRadio. Movie Maintenance at SansPantsRadio.com. Fuck, I haven't done a wrap up for a while. I'm like the Kath Atkins of wrap ups today.
It's not as easy as it fucking looks, yeah.
But I will always remember my Twitter handle, so you can tweet me individually at AwkwardTreed.
You can tweet me at KathAtkins5.
Hey, she got it right. I'm at Sidekick of Dowie.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Kath and I had planned to sing so many songs in this episode. Like we were going to, every time you like started making a point, we were just going to interrupt you. Like you'd like just start talking about something in the movie.
So yes.
I drink champagne with kings and queens, politicians praise my name. And then you talk again.
And we'd be like,
well, those were someone else's dreams, pitfalls of the man I became.
Sean, Carney, that was some good.
That's what the people
shit
missed out on.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support the show, why not become a member at SansPantsPlus.com and get early access to our shows, a bunch of exclusive content, and much, much more. That's SansPantsPlus.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.